Hello, my name is Mark Taylor, and welcome to the Education on Fire podcast. The place for creative and inspiring learning from around the world. Listen to teachers, parents, and mentors share how they are supporting children to live their best, authentic life and are proving to be a guiding light to us all. Hello, welcome back to the Education on Fire podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you to everyone who's been to look at the YouTube channel. It's educationonfire.com/YouTube. You can see there some of the live streams we've done and some of the podcasts we're starting to record on video as well as part of this audio platform. So yeah, excited to see how that starts to develop. Yeah, go and check that out at educationonfire.com/YouTube. Now, today I'm delighted to welcome back Graham Glass. He was on episode 244, and also we've talked about Cypher Learning, of which he's CEO at the BET Show back in 2022. Now, Cypher Learning offers game-changing training and learning solutions for businesses, educational institutions, and entrepreneurs around the world. Graham is passionate about leveraging better experience design and digital platforms that delight learners and make organisations more effective. He's an ex-university lecturer, serial entrepreneur and innovator. He took his university lectures on training dynamics to high technology organizations, then launched a series of companies culminating in Cypher Learning, whose platforms are used today by more than 20,000 organizations. Graham has also written multiple books and spoken internationally on the case for better learning systems in the 21st century. Now, I think this understanding that AI is already here and that the importance of teachers and how they're going to change maybe some of the modelling that they're going to be doing within schools, and the fact that, you know, AI really can be the key to personalised learning. And we dive into that and how that's already affecting Cypher Learning, but certainly also Graham and his family as well. So really hope you enjoy this conversation with Graham Glass talking about Cypher Learning. Hi, Graham. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Education on Fire podcast. Great to welcome you back. As you would have already heard, you can check out the previous episode and get all that kind of backstory about Cypher Learning and the amazing journey to getting to that point. But today we're very excited about talking AI and how that's going to be in the classroom, outside the classroom, and also the things that we think are going to be different, but maybe be the same. And I guess all those unknowns in between. So yeah, thanks so much for being here.
Oh, it's great to be here, Mark. Thanks for inviting me on your show again.
So why don't we start with that first question of what's exciting about AI for you in terms of having, you know, built a company which is so integral to education and what you're offering and what those possibilities are?
Yeah, I mean, ever since I was a kid, I was really into AI. And I know that your show is based in the UK, so some of your audience might remember things like Star Trek or Blake 7. But one of the things that a lot of these sci-fi shows had was some kind of AI computer that they could talk with. And as a kid, I was just always so amazed by that. How can you have a machine that actually understands what you're saying, can actually do things based on your requests? So in the back of my mind, I always thought that wouldn't it be marvelous if there was something like this that we could use inside of the education system? And I would come up with various scenarios, like I'm at home and I'm really into learning about galaxies. If I had someone that could just teach me galaxies, you know, and answer all of my questions, that would be incredible. And, you know, up until recently, the best that we could do was use Google search and do it on your own, or, you know, buy a book, obviously, or if you were really rich, maybe you could hire a tutor, but you can't afford a tutor for everything. So I always thought, just at a high level, if you had something that was really smart that could teach you whatever you wanted, obviously that could make the education system better. But I had that was kind of the level of my thing. It was fairly vague, but now everything's coming into focus thanks to technologies like ChatGPT.
And I think it's amazing how, well, let's think about this, how our ideas and what was possible is one thing, and especially when it's historical, to how it becomes a reality. And I often think about literally sitting here, we're chatting now behind a microphone. One of the things that I really felt at the time I first did it was when I was promoting my education company was doing a themed concert for World War II. And we went round lots of local radio stations. And there was something about being sat behind a microphone and chatting, which I really liked. But this is back in like 2009, 2010, you know, a good 6 or 7 years before I ever launched a podcast. And I couldn't articulate what that was, but I kind of knew there was something in it that was going to be part of my life. And then here we are, you know, sort of 360-odd episodes later in many years. And I sort of love the fact that sort of intuitively you kind of know something is there in your world, even if it's further down the track of your experience.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, I've been now involved in where the rubber hits the road, so to speak, like actually building and launching features based on generative AI. So it's been very exciting. And I think I've got a quite good handle right now on what's going to happen in the near future, just simply because Cypher Learning is right in the storm. So yeah, I'm looking forward to chatting with you about, you know, the actual reality of AI.
So in terms of that sort of integration for what you were doing before, are you, is it a complete reworking? Is it just utilizing what you were already providing? Or how does that kind of look from what your concept was compared to, like, say, what it's going to look like from a user standpoint?
Sure. So to answer your question, I'll start by providing the audience with just a quick overview of what Cypher Learning does, and then I'll drill down into your specific question. So Cypher Learning has a very popular cloud-hosted learning platform. And, you know, you've heard of products like Blackboard or Schoology or Moodle. It's in that kind of genre in the world of K-20. But our platform is also used by businesses. Millions and millions of people use our system every day. And if you look at what a learning platform does, it does a lot. So there's obvious things like creating a course, enrolling students into a course, going through the course itself, tracking your progress, analyzing strengths and weaknesses. There's grading, there's a resources catalog, there's a grade book. It just goes on and on and on. And so, you know, I haven't actually counted the number of features we've got, but it's probably over 1,000 at this point, which makes sense because the idea is meant to be, you know, almost a one-stop shop for all the educational functionality that you need in a school or a university. And up until a few years ago, there was no AI in our system at all. It was just a really nice platform, but it wasn't powered by AI from any perspective. But what got us heading in the direction of AI, pre-generative AI, was what we call skills development. And the idea of skills development is that if the platform knows what you want to learn and what you want to master, and I use the word master carefully because we're into competency-based learning, then skills development is the concept that the platform will actually start making recommendations to you on how to get better at a particular subject. So around 2 years ago, we released skills development, which is essentially a form of personalized learning so that anyone can say, I want to get good at grade 2 biology. Or if you're a teacher, I might want to get good at teaching techniques. And it starts making recommendations to you. But that's like a recommendations engine. That's not nearly as sophisticated as generative AI. And the idea behind generative AI is that it essentially absorbs a massive amount of information. So all the AIs right now are being trained on billions of documents. They don't remember those documents perfectly, but they ingest the essence. And then if you ask them a question, then they will give you a response based on essentially like the combined wisdom of humanity. So that opens up a huge number of doors. And I'm going to pause in a minute because I don't want to just, you know, talk straight for the next 15 minutes. We started on the AI by building recommendations engine for skills development, which, by the way, is one of the biggest trends in education in general. Like you might have heard of things like the skills gap and upskilling. It's like slap bang attacking that problem. But generative AI opens up a huge number of other opportunities. And I'll tell you what those are in just a few minutes.
And that, like you say, suddenly having access to, like you say, the history of humanity in whichever area that you're wanting to do is a whole different ballgame than even when you started this journey yourself.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm constantly amazed by generative AI. Even though I use it every single day, I'm still amazed by it. And I'll give you a story out of the context of education, but it will be relevant, as you'll find out in just a little bit. So I'm a home recording enthusiast, and I'm trying to piece together my new recording studio. And there's a few moving parts. Like I use a Roland Phantom 8 keyboard, and I use an Apollo 8 XP AD converter, and I'm using Apple Logic. So I've got three specific pieces of equipment. And anyone who's building a recording studio may have a different combination. And I was having a hard time connecting the keyboard to the Apple Logic. So I just said to ChatGPT, I'm having a problem connecting my Roland Phantom 8 to my Apple Logic, and here's the particular issue, can you help me? And it actually knew everything about the Roland Phantom 8 and everything about Apple Logic and everything about the Apollo XP. And it gave me a detailed step-by-step series of things to check. But it didn't just respond. Then I go, well, I'm doing this, but this isn't working. What do you think the next step is? Certainly, it's because of this, 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 and a common mistake. So it just blew my mind. It's like, it's not like it just knows about a little bit about biology, a little bit about physics. It knows like user guides of every single product that I use in my home and gives me responses that are tailored to that specific combination that I'm using. And Google can't do that because Google is not generative AI, at least not right now. It might point me to a user guide on one thing or a video on another thing, but it doesn't ingest all those angles and give me a fantastic response that I can then converse with it about.
So for those people that are concerned or scared by the idea of this, I always sort of think of it in terms of, let's go back pre-internet. So we were really happy that we would go to the library and find some information, hopefully if the book happened to be in the library or wherever it happened to be that we could get it. The internet comes along and things like the search engines are there, and all of a sudden we're very happy with the fact we can put a question in and we don't have to go to the library anymore. Something's going to pop up to help us. And we suddenly became very sort of happy with that and familiar with that, but we'd still have to search through, decide what was worthy, what wasn't worthy, what was going to be helpful or not. It seems to me, as amazing as sort of ChatGPT is and all of those things, it makes a logical step forward that actually it's just taking away the next barrier in terms of, I don't need to search through everything. It's doing all of that for me. I'm still going to be the human at the end that's going to take this and use it in whichever way, but it's just giving me more and more information, which is probably based on more facts and more sort of security, really, in terms of knowing that it's had that broad search already rather than just what necessarily a search engine's picked up somewhere.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's important to realize that ChatGPT doesn't, it's not just like a souped up search engine, because you can talk with it. You can't talk with a search engine. So, you know, if I said I've got a Roland keyboard and I've got this and that, how do I do X? And it just gave me the response. That's one thing. That's more like a fantastic search engine. But then I can say, hey, can you clarify this point? And if I was to do this and it's not working, what does that mean? That's like a whole nother level. It's literally like talking with a really, really, really smart person. And, you know, there are areas of weakness, of course. Now, I don't think anyone in the AI community is trying to say that this is AGI, which is just generalized intelligence, but it's amazingly good and you can talk with it and you can refine. You know, another story, and we are going to come back to education, but I think these things are really important for your audience to understand. If they haven't used ChatGPT, and there are still quite a lot of people who haven't, I've heard people say, oh, it's just like a search engine. No, it's not just like a search engine. So that's why I'm giving these things. So I'm also really into theoretical physics. And one of my bucket list items is to actually understand the theory of relativity, which is not easy. And there's lots of different ways to explain the theory of relativity. And so I was on an airplane coming back from Dallas, I think, and I started having this really, really good conversation with ChatGPT, because I'm saying, well, one of the things that always confused me is this. Can you clarify this? Certainly. Da 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 da. It's like, oh yeah, that kind of makes sense. But what about this and this and this? Oh yeah, well, in that case, you might consider da 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 da. And it's like having this expert who's infinitely patient, who I can say whatever I want to get back, and they're not going to go, why are you so dumb? You know, why don't you get it? It's infinitely patient and incredibly cheap. relative to, you know, hiring a physics tutor or taking a course on general relativity at university. So I use it so much now on a daily basis for my personal life, my own interests, for work, use it for a lot of engineering stuff. We use it in coming out with new marketing tag phrases sometimes or brainstorming. If you took it away from me now, I would notice it's gone. You know, oh, well, all that stuff I used to just use ChatGPT, now I've got to spend 10 times the amount of time on Google. And the other thing to remember is this is just in year one of this explosion in ChatGPT. And there is a massive amount of research going on right now in ChatGPT-5 and beyond. So, you know, people tend to look at it through this keyhole, like, well, it doesn't do this, or it, like, yeah, it doesn't do it now, but next year it probably will. I mean, recently, now you can talk to ChatGPT in your voice. It can talk back to you in your voice. It can understand pictures. I mean, and this is just in the last few months. So everyone needs to be cognizant that this is a journey and it's going to be a very fast journey. And I'm really passionate about humans have to figure out how to team up with an AI as soon as possible.
Because it's only then that you're going to be part of what is going to be the modern world, isn't it? Because like you say, even those people that haven't sort of dipped their toe into it yet, a bit like I haven't used the internet yet. There aren't many people that I know now that have not used it, even though when it sort of day one, they were like, oh, I'm never doing my banking online. It's just not going to happen, or whatever it happens to be. We know that probably much sooner rather than later, that's not going to be the case for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I've got two young boys. The oldest is 6. And my guess is probably within a year or so, I'm going to make sure he has plentiful access to AI. And, you know, the number one thing I'm going to teach my boy, because he's really curious already. I mean, he's learning all about galaxies and I'm teaching about fusion reactions in the sun. I mean, he's really like absorbing stuff. But a lot of the time he comes up to me, I'm kind of like his sole educator at home. Like, oh, daddy, can you show me a video about this? Or daddy, why is this galaxy shaped like this? And like, well, I'm busy right now, but you know, later on I'll get out my iPhone and find you the answer. So I don't want to slow him down. I want to allow him to like learn whenever he wants to. But I am going to say, sometimes it gets things wrong. I don't trust anything like at face value on the internet. I didn't trace the news network at face value. I don't take Twitter at face value. So there's no reason to take an AI at face value either. So as long as you're not naive and say, well, ChatGPT said this, so it must be true, which is actually, that's a very naive belief if somebody really believes that, then it's an incredibly valuable resource.
And in terms of that and sort of not going down the route that maybe the last thing that you've been told, how do you go about that practically? I mean, you know, if you have a Google search, for example, you've got, you know, whatever the front pages of different websites and you could search through them all and come up with what you deem to be the best result. If you're just being given the initial result and having sort of asked the question, how do you sort of go against other things? Are you just asking other questions? Or are you just giving a different phrase to see sort of what those results come back at?
Well, I don't use a single source. That's the first thing. And I will actually come back to the Cypher platform on what we're doing very soon, because we have some solution to that as well. But the first thing is I don't trust any single source. So I'm not going to, if I say to ChatGPT, you know, what does an atom look like? And it says, well, there's a proton and a neutron. You know, I've heard that enough times now. Where, well, that sounds right. I'm going to trust it. But if I ask it something really complicated and it gives me something which is like, I don't know, you know, I'm not going to bet my life on that. I'm not going to go around teaching that to everyone that I know until I at least cross-check it. But you could cross-check it with another AI. So there's not just one generative AI. There's like a whole bunch of them. And there's going to be more. And I don't have to cross-check it against an AI. I can talk with a domain expert. You know, we've got a lot of domain experts in Cypher Learning. I can go and do a search on Google and cross-check. So cross-checking is not that hard. You know, the main thing is you need to be cognizant of the fact that don't be gullible. If something sounds odd or a little bit different from what you're saying, don't just accept it at face value, cross-check it. But I mean, honestly, there's way more disinformation in the media these days than there is in an AI. So, you know, I think like the AI is the least of our problems right now. But I applied the same philosophy to the media, anything I do, just cross-check it, do your diligence.
Yeah, absolutely. So in terms of it already being in the classroom, in terms of it all, you know, already being involved in schools, how do you sort of frame that if you were talking to someone? Because children are already using it, because it's already within the software and the companies that schools are using. And also that sense of it being a race or not being a race, in terms of, do we need the latest, fastest version, as opposed to making it work as best we can for the situation that we're in?
Well, I think the first thing to do is just try it, and just try it at home. Like, so the way I learned Gen AI before I actually started working on, you know, products in the company, so I just sat down with GBT, I think it was 3.5 at the time, with a cup of coffee. And I still remember this like it was yesterday. I just started, the first thing I said was, what is 2 plus 2? And it just goes 4. It's like, okay, good. Then I'd say, what is a number greater than 4? 6. Okay. And then I would say, who invented, you know, and the airplane? And it's like, so I started with, like, because I really didn't know what it could do. So I started with super simple stuff. And then I started noticing, wow, it's at, number one, it's completely understanding what I'm saying. It's answering simple questions. And then I go, well, you know, what are the lyrics for Bohemian Rhapsody? One of my favorite songs. Here they are. And I remember someone saying, well, it can redo them in a different tone of voice. Well, put Bohemian Rhapsody in the tone of a pirate. And then it did like a really good pirate rendition. It's like, wow, this is actually pretty cool. But then I started getting way, like I started with the simple stuff and then it went up almost exponentially. So I said, teach me linear algebra using the Socratic method. Certainly, let's get started. And then it posed a question to me. And I answered it wrong, incorrectly. And it said, that's not quite right. Let me rephrase that. What about that? And it automatically adjusted to all my responses and was started teaching me linear algebra. And by that time, it's like off the charts. Like, oh my goodness, this thing, it's like personal tutoring built in. I didn't even have to buy a product. And it's teaching me stuff. And so then I went crazy and I subscribed to every Twitter feed and every feed I could find about AI. And so now I know quite a lot about it. But, you know, I want to ground it now what Cypher Learning is doing, because we're doing some amazing stuff. And it's just going to get more amazing. So, you know, we started thinking about, well, who can use this AI? Well, teachers can use AI. How can they use the AI? Well, an obvious one is they can build classes. Some people call them lesson plans. In business, they call them courses. But obviously, generative AI would allow you to greatly accelerate the creation of educational content. That's like clearly possible. But there's a lot more. So for example, students themselves can use generative AI. So if I'm stuck and I want to deeply understand something, it could help you do that. If you're looking at a class and you're stuck in it, it could explain what it is you're looking at. If you wanted to learn history by debating with King Henry VIII, it could do that. So we started realizing that AI is not like it's not a single thing that will benefit. It's like everyone, parents, educators, managers in businesses, workers on the front line, everyone can benefit from generative AI. So we call our strategy AI 360, just means like a 360 degree use of AI. So what we started on first is creating of educational content. And that is an AI powered assistant, we call it Copilot, inside of the Cypher Learning platform. But let me tell you what it does, because it's quite jaw dropping. So I like to give demos of this stuff. So what I'll do is I'll say to someone, what would you like a course on? And they can pick anything. It could be the history of King Henry VIII. It could be all about Dallas, Texas. It could be how to do great technical support. It could be how to repair a refrigerator. It really doesn't make any difference. So a little thing slides out and says, what do you want to build a course on? Who is the audience? Is it teenagers? Is it young kids? Is it adults? What persona do you want? Someone very friendly, someone more professorial. Do you want to use a lot of analogies or not? What teaching style, direct instruction, Socratic method? And it just asks you a few questions about what you want to build. Do you have any additional instructions? So we had some really funny things. People said, well, I want this marketing course, but I want it themed on Barbie, because Barbie was big at that point. Okay, good. How many lessons do you want in the course? How many pages per lesson do you want? Do you want automatic videos inserted? Do you want automatic photographs? Do you want synthetic voiceovers? Do you want synthetic imagery? Do you want quiz questions? Do you want... It's just like this list. It's just an amazingly complete list. Do you want gamification? Do you want it to be automatically competency-based learning? And then you, and once you've filled in the blanks, there's, you don't have to know anything about AI. Just say, do it. And 10 minutes later, it's built you the entire thing. And it looks super professional. Now, everything that it creates, is you can change it. And what we actually say is Copilot will do 80% of the work. We did a big survey. We did a big early access release. Everyone says it does a minimum of 80% of the work that you would typically do as an educator. But then you go in and you review it because you're a domain expert. You tweak it. You reorganize it. You replace images. You massage the text. You know, you just refine it, basically. But that 80% has saved you massive amounts of time and money. But when people see how good it does in 10 minutes, their jaw drops. And the total cost to our end users is around $5. And it's funny, like one of my friends is an expert in media in the UK. So he was visiting me a few days ago and he goes, well, Graham, you know, you told me about this stuff. Can you show me? So I pulled out a laptop and he goes, well, I'm interested in the history of movie making. And 10 minutes later, and he reviewed this course like, this is just amazing. He had no idea that generative AI could do that good a job. So that's already live. All of our customers have access to Cypher Copilot. But we're working on a lot more stuff right now. But I'll pause right now so we can just discuss about this aspect of Gen AI.
So I guess the first point to consider it there is the fact that there is absolutely no need, other than general topic areas these days, which you want to cover and the way you go about doing it, the fact that you can cover a topic, so, you know, like you said, it, whatever that happens to be, you could actually have personalized learning about that same topic if you're having to still do it in a traditional classroom setting, for example, but everyone could learn it in a different way because you could generate the way that you're going to learn to cover the actual course that you want to match the people that need it, whether it's the way it's delivered, the types of videos, the way that you want to go about learning it. It's all there for you to make that personalized learning really easily.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things, and this is something that I had to adapt to because everyone is, you know, affected by their history. So I used to be an educator. I taught at UT Dallas. I've taught thousands of people in my life. And when I created a course, I would usually create one course. So if I'm creating a course on C programming, then I would figure it out on a piece of paper. Here's how the course is going to go. And then I would gradually kind of flesh it out. And building a course normally takes 400 to 600 hours. It's not a small endeavor. But when you can create a course by simply giving it instructions with nudges, so you can say, you know, theme it with this, or if I'm doing a course on the Beatles, I can say, and remember, I want one section all about Martha, my dear. So you can give it as many hints and nudges as you want. And then I begin to realize if I was using this in my course, I wouldn't just create the course once and that would be it. I'd create the course 5 times. And I would let the Gen AI create 5 different courses and I would tweak the parameters. And then I would look at all 5 and I go, I think course number 4 is the one that I prefer. I'm going to use that one as my starting point. Because I can create 5 courses for $25. It's like so cheap. And so once you begin to realize that you can, it's like clay now, you can create these courses so fast and so inexpensively, that's a huge boon for educators. So now we're in the bit, I know it sounds a bit funny, but we can actually give people best practices for using Gen AI, which is funny because most people haven't really even tried it. But an important thing with Cypher Copilot is you don't have to know anything about AI, like nothing. There's no ChatGPT prompts. There's no infrastructure. There's no special guardrail. You know, you don't have to know anything. The only thing you have to know is that it usually takes about 10 minutes. You fill in the blanks when you're telling it what kind of course. And also, AIs can make occasional mistakes, so you've got to review it. And I, but because I read a lot of documents from the schools about, well, we're going to give all these teachers, you know, ChatGPT training and prompts and all. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, that's useful. But for your audience, you don't have to know anything about AI in order to hugely benefit from it.
So going forward from an education point, you know, we talk about personalized learning being really key and possible now, you know, as you just demonstrated, if you can create something that you want to study so quickly. So how do you see the role of the teacher changing? Is it going to be more kind of mentor, coach, coordinator of whatever? You sort of create the fabric of whatever your class or your school is going to learn over an amount of time and give them the freedom to go with it. And then you're being able to then come in and sort of like a puppet, kind of sort of puppeteer, just sort of make sure everything's going in the right direction. Do you think that's a reality or a positivity?
Well, so I wouldn't use the word puppet because it makes it sound like you're not doing anything. But so I will come back to your question, but I want to mention one other thing first because it'll affect my answer. So I mentioned that Cypher Learning, we've done some amazing stuff with Copilot already, building courses in 10 minutes. And we're also releasing the ability to take any existing, like upload a PDF, upload a bunch of PowerPoints, upload a video, and it will take build courses out of that as well. So if somebody's got all their stuff in Microsoft document format or PDFs, no problem. And it will use that data in preference to any public data. So that's like creating courses. But course creation, educational content creation, everything I've talked about so far is teacher facing. And one of the things that we're big believers in is student-facing AI. So one of the things that's going to be in the Cypher platform is going to be a little prompt at the top that says, what do you want to learn? Now, schools can turn that off. And, you know, sadly, a lot of the times, the really, really cool stuff, first thing the school does is turn it off. You know, I'm realistic about that. Businesses, on the other hand, love this stuff because they want their workers to learn stuff as fast as possible. So they have slightly different motivations. But let's go back to the student one. And one of my target audiences is my son. So he's 6 years old. He's really into black holes and stars and things. So he could type in, it says, what do you want to learn? Galaxies, as a simple one. So what we see is, within a few seconds, a beautifully created, curated short form, like micro learning format, with pictures and videos, etc., all about galaxies right there. But tailored to the audience, like a child would see something different from a teenager, from an adult. But in addition to saying, here's the short form, it'll say, here are related topics you might also want to learn. Nebulae, fission, you know, Edwin Hubble, you know, space telescopes. Also, if you want to quickly do a Google search, click here and we'll launch Google on Galaxy so you can cross-check. It'll say, here are courses in your institution, whether it's a school or university, that provide a deeper understanding of what you're looking at right now. And with a little button that says, got any more questions? Talk to an expert tutor, and you click on it, and it's a restricted version of a Gen AI that will only talk to you about, say, galaxies. So the idea is to allow students to learn super fast, whatever they want, at their own speed, but it's also integrated with everything else in your institution. So it's being tracked, it's being measured, it's aligned to competency. So if you get really good at galaxies, and in your grade 3 science curriculum it says you got to get good at galaxies, it will connect those dots. Because, you know, my thing is, it's all about allowing humans to learn things as fast as possible. And like it or not, humans on their own are going to be competing against humans with AIs. So the faster we get humans to utilize AIs and the faster we get them to learn, the better it is for all of humanity. So that's why I'm a really big believer that this generative AI stuff really needs to be accessible by anyone, including, you know, people like my son. And it's going to happen one way or the other. You know, this is not just Cypher Learning that believes that. It's like huge numbers of companies, but we're trying to push the envelope as quickly as possible. So coming back to what is the role of the educator? So you know, I'm the educator at our house, the primary one. My wife is as well, but I'm the primary, like more like science and tech and this kind of stuff. So I throw it back to me, like, what do I do with my son? So the first thing that I try and do is I try and inspire him. And so the way that I teach him about space is really, really cool. You might have seen Carl Sagan do something, but every single thing in your body that you're built out of came from an exploding supernova billions of years ago. Every single atom came from there, which is mind-blowing. And so I try and put things in a way that inspires him. So he's like, really? Well, what about this? What about this? Whereas there are some teachers who don't do that. They'll just go, turn a page 60, galaxies, okay, blah, 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 you know? And so there's so much information out there in the world that if children start becoming intrinsically motivated to learn something because of the way you've inspired them, then that is the greatest thing that an educator can do. So I would say that there's going to be more and more educational content. It's going to be more and more expert tutors. I don't really think that the main role of the educator is to be the fount of knowledge, because there's just so many places you can get it. But I do think, though, that, you know, you're around these children. There are ways to talk about subjects and introduce them to concepts that will inspire them, so that however they're getting that additional knowledge, they're always motivated.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And the thing is, what you can't get is that kind of emotional learning, I guess, in some ways, and that kind of the teachers in the environment making it more human based, making it, giving the children the ability to develop as a human and their best version of themselves, means that there's obviously more time from that, because, like I say, a lot of the actual other learning, as you just described, is going to be quicker and easier and actually more productive.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I didn't mean to imply that the only reason for a school is to learn. Like, if I look at my son, it's so much more than learning. And so it's his friendships, it's conflict resolution, it's his playtime, it's where he does a lot of his hobbies. He has a fantastic time. And I had the same time at school. Like, if I think, well, what was the best thing about going to university? It wasn't learning. I could learn out of a book. It's all the social interactions. It's the joy of learning. It's the shaving foam fights. And that's what really made university for me. So I 100% agree. Like, AI is not going to eliminate teachers or anything. If anything, it's going to make their lives a lot more fun, because it relieves them a lot of the drudgery of lesson plans and quizzes and all that kind of stuff, so that ultimately they have more time to inspire the children, more time to play with them, more time to, you know, talk about cool things outside of the normal path. I mean, I do think, though, here's one of the challenges in schools. So, you know, teachers are not used to this concept. A lot of the teachers really like to be the conduits of knowledge, and that's going to take a while to, you know, resolve itself. The second thing, though, is that schools right now are very siloed. You know, I go into a math class, and then I go into a physics class, and then I go into a French class. And I don't find that works naturally for me at all with my son. Like, we regularly, in a single conversation, will talk about four different subjects. And because I know quite well those subjects, I connect them all together. So he's getting a really interesting, very motivating, very relevant big picture about something. Like, I never just sit down and go, I'm just going to teach him about just math. And that's kind of a freewheeling style that I think is very effective. And Finland has completely embraced that concept. And they, in K-12, they tend to call it cross-cut. But for example, there might be a teacher who introduces them to, like, horrible ways to die in the 19th century. And kids love that kind of stuff. Like, there's poisons, and here's how the chemistry works, and here are weapons, and here's how those worked. And by the way, here's a battle where they first introduced this weapon. And, you know, you take that course, and you're introduced to a whole ton of things, but in a way that's really exciting for kids. And they'll remember it, because it's all connected. Whereas most countries don't do that. But if you're going to be a teacher and run a cross-cut course, you need to actually have a pretty good idea of all these different things. You can't be, well, I don't know anything about science, but I'm now going to do this thing, because you might be out of your depth. So, I do think more AI tutoring, answering questions, helping people learn things quicker. But I would love to see a move towards this more fluid learning, which, as I mentioned, Finland has embraced, but it's not easy. I mean, K-12 moves very slowly. Education moves very slowly.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see exactly how things like Ofsted here in the UK and various other organisations kind of adapt or not, or how that works, and actually indeed whether you have kind of what's considered traditional schooling and then those that are able just to kind of do their own version of it in other ways. I think that's going to be really fascinating. And just as we start to round up, one of the things that's really struck me about what you've been saying is that the feeling you get from having AI built into a platform that you're secure about, and how you're doing that, as opposed to, I'm just going to go somewhere else to find something out. Do you think that'll become commonplace in terms of that it'll be literally integrated into all sorts of things that we're already happy to use?
I mean, I think that makes sense. For example, we offer a learning platform. It's meant to be a fully integrated one-stop shop, because it just simplifies a lot of stuff. And so it's all about making things as simple, as integrated as possible. So, for example, if I'm in the Cypher platform and I'm looking at a particular video in it, or a class, a lesson, or taking a quiz, and I get stuck, the most obvious thing is, if there's a button there that says, help me out, it makes it very, very quick. Whereas it's like, oh, hang on, let me launch this other application and then copy and paste the lesson I was looking at into it. And, it's not quite as seamless. But I think there's going to be lots of different combinations of solutions to this. And, hopefully the best ones will win. I mean, I have to say, in education, based on what I've seen, a lot of the products that are very popular, I don't think are very good, but they have mass adoptions.
Yeah.
it is what it is. I do think, though, I mean, one thing I've noticed, I've got a nephew, he's really smart. And when he goes to school, a lot of the time he just tunes out. Because he said, I can learn so much faster from YouTube when I go home, there's not really that much point in concentrating during the lesson. Like, I don't care anymore, which is really sad. But this is going to become probably more commonplace, because if schools do not adopt better, faster, more engaging ways for kids to learn, but when the kid goes home, they have access to amazing technologies or through their phone, they're just going to start thinking, well, I'm not going to listen to Mrs. Jones in math because my AI is just so much better. So there, I think there is going to be this thing where, if you're a teacher and you want to keep your kids engaged, then figuring out, it's not replacing you with AI, but how do you use AI to make your life better so you can do more engaging content? That's going to prevent what my nephew is already experiencing, which is, I just go to school and I play with my friends, and when I come home, I use YouTube.
Yeah. And especially if, like you say, it can work positively in both ways, because you can set that inspiration off in the class and then they can take it as far as they want when they get home. And like you say, understanding how the tools work, understanding where you can find that information, understanding how it's going to be supportive of you, the fact that this is kind of what we have to study here in the current time, but here's kind of, a launch pad for you to kind of go as far as you want with it. I mean, that's certainly one thing our son did. He sort of loved that idea of space and engineering, and just loved the sort of finding stuff out on YouTube and watching it for fun. And that's the thing, isn't it? Once you sort of take, well, when the fun is the education rather than it being education and then you find the fun, it's a whole different way of learning and changes the whole way that society will actually progress, because we'll just have people able to come up with all sorts of solutions to all sorts of problems and really fast.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think we've all experienced this concept of being in the flow. And when you're in the flow, you don't want to be interrupted. You want it to be as frictionless as you can. So your brain like completely engages. And so people will like binge watch programs, but what about binge learning? Like, I want my son to be able to binge learn astronomy super fast, super engaging, frictionless. And I don't want him to have to sit there and like do a Google search and then do this and then find a video. There's like, there's much better ways to do this. And, you know, one of the things I do want to share with your audience, and that is we did a pretty extensive early access release of Cypher Copilot. And it's from K-12 educators, university professors, business, learning and development staff. And it was incredibly positive. Like no one said, oh, it's going to take my job. Everyone said, this is a game changer because this is going to save me so much time and I can build courses in whatever I want, whenever I want. And it's just going to change the way that I educate. And, you know, I find myself thinking, well, if I was, I might have seen something on TV and I was thinking, if I was teaching physics, the next day I would build a course about X based on what I heard about yesterday and I would just teach it to the kids right there. Like this whole just-in-time learning, relevant learning, customized learning, it's all totally possible. So that's why I'm so excited about AI. This, the content, the course creation was just phase one for us. We're busy working on phase two already, which is the learner-facing generative AI. So I think it's just, if I was an educator, I'd be extremely excited right now.
Yeah, well, I think that's a great and a really important point. And I think my final thought on this is the fact that we know that teacher well-being, burnout, all of that sort of stuff is a real thing for so many people. And no one knows how that's going to change, except if we take the logical steps that you've just been talking about today, well, then there's a natural step, even within the current system and, you know, the conversations and the development of what's possible could happen sooner rather than later. And I think match that with the fun and the excitement of the sort of content you can create and how that can be taught and how it can be learned. And actually, you know, the idea of what being an educator is from a professional level, as well as, like I say, the academic level, is going to be amazing. So yeah, well, Graham, thanks so much for sharing all of this. It's absolutely amazing. I look forward to seeing what the next stage is, and thanks for coming back and sort of keeping us up to date with anything. Tell people where they can find out more, get involved, and check it out as well.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And first of all, thank you so much, Mark. That was a really good fun chat. Yeah, if you want to learn more about Cypher learning and especially the AI Copilot, it's C-Y-P-H-E-R, cypherlearning.com. And if you go to the main page and scroll down, there's an interview with me on CNN recently. I was on CNN Live talking all about how this can help K-12 education and higher ed. So you might enjoy those videos as well.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Keep up the great work. Keep pushing those boundaries. And I look forward to what your son has been able to develop and show and share with you. And maybe he'll be taking the baton from your hand in the very near future.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mark. Take care.